Advices Radio Network.
Advices Radio is for entertainment and educational purposes only. The opinions of the host are not meant to be taken as medical advice. If you have a health concern, see a doctor immediately.
When it comes to the day of the contest, I'm his father. He comes to me for advices. So it's not that hard for me to give him the wrong advices.
The wrong advices.
Hey guys, welcome to Advices Radio. It's Tuesday. It's time again for another show. Before we get started, I wanted to bring to you the program notes for the week because we have a lot going on once again. We've got Monday through Friday podcasts coming at you. So Monday we had Chuck Zarosky with Strength Depositions. He brought to us a cool interview with strength coach Dan John. He happens to be his big personal hero. So guys, check that one out. Today you're about to hear James Hollingshead on Advices Radio, the program itself. Then Wednesday we have Clinical Muscle with Dr. Steve Ogden and Dr. Vijay Puri answering all your medical questions from the Advices Radio message board. Then Thursday we have Blood, Sweat, and Gear with Skip Hill and S2H also taking questions from their thread at the Advices message board. Then Friday we've got Bodybuilding Nerds Radio. It's at our sister site, bodybuildingnerds.com. So check all these programs out. You can hear them all at advicesradio.com or subscribing to Advices Radio on iTunes. And head over to the forum, submit your questions over there for the shows. And feel free to drop us a message. Let us know how we're doing. Let us know who you want to hear. Guys, I hope you're having a great week. I hope that everybody's working hard, being honest with themselves, and pushing to reach their goals. I believe that everybody can achieve awesomeness. So believe in yourself. Because I believe in you. As cheesy as that sounds, it's true. All right, go on and get.
Always heading toward mass suicide, called figurines and waste of gas station attendants attending to their job. And a nice drive in the country finds a nice clip to drop off. Oh, and this life just gets so great. All the prettiness of life. But don't take those pills your boyfriend gave you. You're too wonderful to die.
Welcome back to Advices Radio, part of the Advices Radio Network. I'm your host, Scott McNally. This is episode number 46. And today I've got a very interesting guest that I think a lot of you guys already know. He's one of the three co-hosts of the Size Game podcast. He's UK bodybuilder and London gym owner, James Hollingshead. James, thanks for being with me, man.
Hey, Scott. How you doing, my man? All good?
Yeah, all is good over here. How are you doing today, man? How's it going over there?
Marvelous, marvelous day today. Just a nice busy morning. I've had a medical done to get life insurance. I've bought a house. So I'm just going through a few processes in life and on my way to being an adult. So, everything's good. It's a training day today, so obviously I'm in a good mood. You know, it's like you always look forward to knowing that you're going to the gym later. So, yeah, I'm just happy, really, in all things life. Balance feels like it's there, and happy to be on, obviously, the show. So I was really happy that you reached out. So thank you for inviting me on.
Well, this is long overdue, man. I'm a huge fan of your podcast. I catch every episode, and I love what you guys are doing. I feel like overall the message that I get from it is three guys that are all hardworking and very passionate about the sport of bodybuilding. For anybody out there who hasn't seen or listened to the Size Game, I highly suggest it. James does that show with Banji, and now IFBB Pro, Luke Sandow. You said the next episode is going to feature Ron Partlow, huh?
It is indeed. It is indeed. Yeah, Ron's a good friend of the show. We've had Ron on before.
Yeah.
And we felt that we didn't get through everything that we wanted to because the man, like, you know Ron yourself. There is much to the man, and you can't get everything out of him in one episode. So
yeah.
We realized we'll definitely have him back on. He was happy to come back on. We shared a few stories, learned a lot because he's a man full of knowledge. And, he's been doing this, for God, a lot longer than most of us. And when you can have someone like that with such insight come on a show and just basically close your eyes and listen to what they have to say, you come out of that knowing and learning a lot.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, so, you know, Big Ron, he's one of the best guys in bodybuilding. And if you were to sit and think to yourself, what is the ideal bodybuilder, mindset, personality, enthusiasm, you're going to see Ron in your head. He's such a good guy. So, yeah, it's going to be a good episode. We recorded a couple of days ago, so it should be out at any point once Banji's finished editing. Appreciate what you say about the show as well in terms of what we are. We kind of are, like you say, it's just three guys who all love what they do, much as many people that are listening.
Yeah.
Fortunately enough, we've all done okay, especially Luke, who seems to be skyrocketing into a good place. And we just get to speak about all things bodybuilding and things that aren't bodybuilding. We do talk about other things as well. So, yeah, we appreciate any support from anyone. So, especially yourself. When someone else has a podcast and a great one, that for the fact that they tune into ours means a lot, obviously. I think for the audience, you'll learn more from these guys.
I don't know about that, man.
You might crack a smile to a couple of our episodes, but yeah.
So James, not only, you know, are you a co-host on the show there, you know, you're a pretty successful bodybuilder as far as I've seen, man. You've been making really awesome progress, and I want to talk to you about that today. I feel like the progress you've made, in especially the last year, is something that a lot of people, especially newer guys, would really be interested in learning about and hearing what's worked for you. But before we get to that, I wanted to ask you about your gym. Tell me about your gym. Now, this is called King's Gym, correct?
King's Gym, yep. We are in Croydon, which is South London.
Okay.
Pretty newly established. We opened in October last year. Great member base already. Popular gym. Yeah, a lot of good people visit. Yeah, kind of a long story with the gym. It's basically, myself and a few others, we trained in a very legendary old gym prior to this gym opening, and it had been open since the 80s. So
what was the name of that one?
This gym was called Pink's Gym, and it was literally owned by a guy named Peter Pink,
who
was a legend in his own right. You know, he's from the heyday of bodybuilding. And basically, Peter got to the age of retirement and didn't really know what to do, and I kind of forced him to keep the gym open as long as I could. and he was good. You know, he did things for me. He helped me out and kept it open as long as he could. But, you know, enough's enough, and a man's got to retire when he's got to retire.
Sure.
So, you know, as it was coming to a close, what I decided to do was start a Facebook page, like a petition, to try and get enough people together to say, look, if we had a new gym, we would all be members. We'd all go. And it could start on a good, you know, basis, and it would have enough people to basically fund its opening.
Oh, yeah.
So I started a group on Facebook and basically got everyone joining and leaving messages of what the gym meant to them and their personal stories with the gym, you know, past stories. It was really emotional because you're reading through things that you didn't realize things were so sentimental to people. You know, young and old, all different types of people. Some people that have been there for 20 years, some that have been there for 5 years, some that compete, some that don't. So people from all backgrounds, men, women, you name it. And what I also decided to do was, I thought, sod it, let's get a photo shoot kind of arranged for the last few days so we can get everyone together at the gym.
Nice.
And kind of get like a last hurrah picture or two.
Yeah.
So we went through that. We got some of those pictures. And in the process of doing so, some of the people that turned up, friends of mine, kind of proposed an idea to me. Because obviously they saw the amount of people that turned up, and they obviously thought this could work. They proposed if they could fund a gym opening, would I like to have the gym?
Dude, it makes total sense. It makes like you said, you already had all the people. It was ready to go.
This is the thing. We had the materials were there. We kind of, I just wanted to prove to someone who had a better financial position than myself that it's not just because it's the end of one era, it's not the end of a new one. You know, we can launch something off the back of this,
sure,
as they say, you know, rise something from the ashes. And, so we got talking, me and a friend of mine, John, and originally another friend of mine, Dean, who's a very good friend of mine who trains with me. And the three of us basically said, let's get the gym open. So it was basically going to be me and Dean. It was our gym. We were running it, but financially there was a man tied in who didn't really want to be anything to do with it because it's not his side of business.
Okay.
Hence me being such a forefront to the gym, you know, because it was my passion. I was happy to take on every hour under the sun and make that gym work. Right. Yeah, I said I'll do it. And eventually Dean had a few of his own issues going on, so he couldn't take up the position of like co-sharing the gym with me, so he decided to step back and just focus on personal training, just because of time and stuff and commitments. He's got a young daughter, and you know, it's like fatherhood's not the easiest thing, and especially when your kids are growing up, you've got to be there.
Sure.
So me being young and bolstery, I was like, yeah, I'll do it.
Awesome.
So yeah, I think the gym, we got it all set up in such a manner that by September of the year, the following month, we got the gym open basically in a month turnaround.
Wow.
So we purchased the equipment from the previous gym for a good price, because obviously we were friends with the previous owner.
Right.
We rented a nice, a large warehouse, and we basically just spent the evenings shifting stuff over and just moving them about and getting everything ready, really. And come October the 21st, we opened, albeit not quite ready, but the people were accepting and understood the turnaround speed.
Yeah.
Which is good. I have to say thank you to the members, because ultimately we opened a gym that was half ready. Mm. But because of loyalty, and this is why loyalty is so important, they came and they stayed. And we didn't even have heating and proper toilets at the time.
Wow.
It was so like for women to come into the gym and not be able to shower and stuff,
yeah,
they stuck by us. They stuck by us. They really did, Scott.
That's pretty cool.
And we, under the promise, obviously, that we are going to sort things and the gym will improve. And since that point, we've just been improving and improving as much as we can. John, the financial owner, has been happy to invest his money when me and Dean or anyone says that something needs doing, it gets done.
Yeah.
Few months, maybe 2 months, 3 months into running the gym, I had a discussion with John and whatnot, and I said, you know what, I think it might be too much for me.
Hmm.
And that was just my honest opinion. I think I was spending lots of hours there. I was there too much, and I didn't want to affect my love for the gym. You know, I don't want to fall out with somewhere that I've tried to help create. So we reconsidered positions, and I'm in a position now which means I don't have to be there too much, but I control all the social media.
Okay.
I arrange events, I have a say, the gym looks after me in return, and things are good. So yeah, basically things changed on those dynamics because I didn't want to fall out of love with the gym.
Yeah. You know what, too? I think that you're making a really interesting point here, because you know, all of us start with that love and that passion for the gym and for bodybuilding. And then, you know, our next thought is, well, you know, how can I make my living doing this? It can get so easy to get sucked into that business that you're no longer a bodybuilder. Now you're just a business person.
Yes.
Right?
And that was what was happening, because there's only so many hours, you know, how many hours are there in a day? How many hours can you commit to several things? And when the ratios change and they're not in your favor anymore for what you originally intended to do with your life,
right,
you have to stand there and say, oh, I need to adjust. And I just got to that point where I needed to adjust again, because I know that I was slipping away from what I ultimately want to do on this earth. But fortunately, the relations are good and the people understand what I said, because they've known me since I was young and I started doing this when I was young. So they kind of want to see my dreams come true as well.
That's cool.
And lucky, the gym, man. I'm very lucky. And that's why I'm such a person that I have to say thank you at every opportunity whenever I see something that's helped me out. Some people say you say thank you too much, but I don't think you can. I really don't, especially if things are making your life easier and allowing you to do things you love doing. So the gym's really popular now. We keep getting new stuff and keep updating it as much as we can. Obviously, nothing's ever going to be 100%. There's always going to be a couple of complaints, but
sure,
it's doing well, and it's a perfect base for me to improve my own physique, because it has everything I need and, you know, equipment I already know. And by having a say, you know, you can recommend certain pieces of equipment that you think are missing, and, you know, hope that they come along and you just see them in there one day and you're like, sweet, they listened.
Do you have a favorite piece of equipment in there right now?
There's a lot of good kit in there actually, Scott.
Yeah.
But typically, the leg press that I use in my Instagram videos is a leg press that I've been using since I was about 14 years old.
No kidding.
So it's sentimental to me. So it's an old design. It squeaks when you use it, but it's, you know, I love it. It's like it's half of my adult, my adult life has been spent on that at least once a week.
Wow.
So yeah, it's a very sentimental piece of kit for me, and it's And I hope it doesn't go anywhere anytime soon. I will repair that and repair that and repair that until it's on its last legs. Put it that way.
I just pulled up your Instagram so I could find it. I'm looking at it right now. You guys got a lot of good stuff in there. It looks like like you do a lot of hack squatting too.
Yes, yes. And that's another piece of kit I've been using for a long time. Because like I say, because the equipment was from my previous gym, and I started previous gym when I was around 14 years old.
Okay.
So obviously I'm 28 now, so 14 years of using the same kit.
You get used to it.
You do, and it just feels right. You know, my joints don't hurt because I know the movement patterns. There's never an injury because I just know the equipment. I know what equipment I can kind of take the mickey out of and overload a little bit.
Yeah.
and I know what ones not to overload. So, it's good stuff, really good stuff. And I encourage anyone, if they're ever in the UK, obviously you come pay us a visit. We had a guy, Sister Nino, pop in when he was over.
Oh, no kidding.
We did a workout together there. He really liked the gym.
What did you guys train?
We did a bit of chest. I think it's just chest because he does such high volume.
Okay.
Like he'll do like 8 exercises just for pecs, which is not my training. But you know, when you got a guy over who's a very good bodybuilder and a real kind of motivation, you can't not train with him. So
hell yeah.
Yeah, so we did a workout together, and it was like a really enduring chest workout.
I've heard about his workouts, man. I'm trying to think. Some people in particular I've known who've trained with him, they've just told me how freaking brutal his routines are, man.
His workouts are like his mouth. And if you listen to his stories, he never quiet. So yeah. It's the same with his training. He's a bundle of energy and. Obviously a little bit aggressive as well, so yeah. It comes across in his training, but obviously works for him and he's done really well for it, and he's a lovely guy, and hopefully when he's back over he'll pop in again.
Hell yeah. Now it's I know this is I'm making you think here, but do you remember offhand how long a chest workout took with Guy Sister Nino?
Too bloody long. We're probably mucking around for around 90 to 2 hours, you know, 90 minutes to do.
Okay.
I think.
And that's not talking in between sets and stuff. That's like
no,
work,
really.
You know?
That's kind of he got his quads out the odd time for a flash because he's got good legs.
Show me
what proper legs look like. But it was quite long. And then we went out for some food and stuff after. So I had to stay with him for a few more hours. I was playing nice host. You know, I wanted to look after him while he was in the gym.
Right on, man. That's so cool. Now you know everybody who listens to the programs here at the Advices Radio Network. We all know Jordan Peters, and you know we've discussed it on Muscle Minds more than once that you and he are working together. I know Jordan's approach is much lower volume than that, correct?
Yeah, a lot lower. You'll be lucky if you do 3 chest exercises in a workout.
Really?
Pretty much. It's all dependent on the client of Jordan's, because I know that he's very much comes from the approach that everyone is different. He does understand that people can hack more volume than others. Like he's a very low volume trainer himself. He doesn't recover if he does any more than a certain amount.
Yeah.
Because the extremities of his lifts, he's so strong that I think less is more for him. But other guys aren't particularly strong in comparison, probably can get away with doing more. So it's just about taking the individual and seeing what their capabilities are in terms of recovery. For myself, Jordan has even said that I've got slightly better recovery properties than he has. So I could probably do an extra exercise or two than he does in a workout. And it's possibly because obviously the amount of tissue on his body, so the recovery is going to be very demanding versus someone like me. Even though I'm not a small guy, Jordan is an exception. And I don't know if many of the American guys have seen Jordan in the flesh stripped down. There is nothing like it. I've been next to IFBB pros. I've looked at their physiques. I know quite a few of the guys. Jordan is dripping with muscle, like to another level. It's ridiculous. So I can understand why his body takes so long to recover.
Yeah,
he's a true freak of nature. Freak of nature.
That makes total sense. So you know, we also know that with Jordan, he likes to work with the lower volume, but then increased frequency. And like you were saying, it all depends on what your recovery is like.
Yeah, of course.
With your recovery, how often are you, say, training chest, for instance?
So I can train as frequent as Jordan, but with just a bit more volume. So I'll be hitting something every 5 days, basically. So I'm on a push-pull approach, which would be very similar to Jordan. You know, you might do push, pull, day off, legs, day off, and then start again. We tend to put recovery days around whatever's the most demanding. Jordan likes to have recovery days around his back day, his pull day, because I think that's what's most taxing for him.
Okay.
For myself, leg day is the most taxing, so therefore we prioritize recovery around that. So again, that comes down to the individual as well. You know, if you did a push day, but that seems to be the one that batters you to absolute hell and back, then you would have recovery around that and then let the other 2 days pair up together. So once every fifth day.
That makes total sense to me. Now, you got a chance to go out there and train with him recently, right? How did that go?
Very, very good. I will be going again as well, because the thing with Jordan, where he lives, is quite easy for me to get to, because nice. I live literally near a train station, which takes me straight to London Euston.
Oh, perfect.
And London Euston Virgin trains take you directly to Crewe, which is where Jordan lives.
Okay.
So in the train from Euston's only about 90 minutes to 2 hours, depending on if it's the fast or normal train to get to where he is. Hmm. So I plan on doing that, especially in the off season next year, quite frequently, because he's really cool. Like I just go up there and stay at his, and he looks after me, and we all just chill out and have fun. Corinne and him are like the best hosts, and because they understand the processes of what we do and every side of it, you know, every intricate detail.
Yeah,
you don't feel odd being there because they're just like you. Some places you go and you have to take things with you, supplements, blah blah blah, and you feel like a bit of an odd bod in the corner.
Yeah,
you know, having to say, I've just got to go and do this, or I've just got to eat this and cook that. Whereas Jordan's, you know. That there is, he expects you to eat. He's like, are you due food? You know, if you're not eating, he'll tell you, are you due food? Or let's go for a little walk, got to get some steps in, etc. So he's actually really good to be around. It's like being in the camp. Another great thing about being there is obviously Jordan is now looking after Sasan.
Yeah.
So we get to get workouts in together as well. So I'm hanging around with another person who I practically idolize in terms of how they put the effort into their training, what they've managed to achieve. And as a person, Sass is probably one of the most warm-hearted people I know. So it's all positive when I'm up there. There's no, you know, there's no negative feeling. I could stay there forever and feel happy.
If I
could move there, I would move there. But, you know, my missus works in London. So unfortunately I can't just leave her.
Right.
It's a real good setup. I like what's going on up there. Cause the thing with Jordan, he's kind of the go-to guy. So what you'll notice is there's a lot of other quite high-level bodybuilders or even extremely high-level bodybuilders that go just to train with Jordan to get a feel for the experience.
Mm.
It's kind of like the JP experience. So they want to see what it's about because he's so interesting.
Yeah.
I know that Ricardo Correa went up there the other day to train, who's obviously just come off the back of 2-2-12 wins.
Yeah.
You know Ricardo?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so he went up there to have a session. And obviously the funny thing with Jordan, he's so aggressive, like you don't realize, like, because he sends WhatsApp saying what he's going to do to the person he's training with.
Oh, that's cool.
And I don't know if he's told you about like some of his stories, but even when I've trained with him, after I've trained with him, he showed me the message he sent to Corinne saying how he's going to mess me up.
he never told us about that, but I heard you guys talking about it on Size Game, I was going to mention that you know, it sounds like you guys are just having a fun time and everything's exciting, but fun is defined by some pretty seriously brutal training. From what I understand, you guys are just neck and neck pushing each other back and forth.
Yeah, the good thing with Jordan is we are practically movement for movement. So he might spank my ass on one movement and then we'll follow up and he'll feel like he's ahead and then I take over and vice versa. And it's kind of like a neck and neck race, which is brilliant because you're pushing and pushing and we do know our limits, but we also are willing to see how far we can go.
Right.
I'm gutted because I know that he uploaded a video of the hack squat video a couple of weeks back and everyone loved it. And I'm absolute gutted because I did the same set just after, but we didn't record it. So Jordan got all the love and I felt so left out.
That's funny, man.
It was I think it was a tactful move from him. So because it's all games with Jordan. So he knew he got one up on me by getting that recorded. So next time I'm in Stoke, Jordan, I'm going to get a better set than you record it, you bastard.
So you were saying that you feel like you need a little bit more recovery on legs. What is legs also your favorite body part to train or is it something
else? Sadistically, it kind of is.
Because I had a feeling.
Yeah, it's just I go to sleep at night, Scott, and I think how freaky can I have these legs?
Oof.
I know I'm not going to have the best of this, but I know that I can bring a savage pair of legs. So I kind of know that I have a good connection with them when I train them, and the kind of neuro connection is just, it's on point. It always feels great. And I want to take advantage of that. You know, I know a lot of people, like, if you've got a really good body part, then maybe you should concentrate on other things. But there's a sadistic side as well where you're like, you know what, sod it. I'm going to make this absolutely as freaky as possible. And I've noticed since adopting Jordan's training style, I feel I've probably put on like 2 inches on my thighs.
No joke.
Like, even my missus is like, your ass and your legs look big.
That's awesome, man.
My physio says it. He says, your legs aren't like growing and I'm dieting. So it's a good thing. So obviously the progressive kind of overload on legs for me is really a good combination. Yeah, legs is definitely, it's the favorite day of mine. I think the taxing feeling you have after you finish and you go home and you can just sit down, you feel like you've earned the rest.
You're getting me pumped up to train legs right now. I still have a couple of days. Yeah, I'm going to hit them on Saturday.
Go to bed tonight and just think, how freaky can I make these in a year's time if I just give them everything I've got every week?
Yeah,
they can look like a total different body part. It's just the legs are something that can change so much because it's so much tissue on them.
Yeah.
So yeah, please do.
Tell me about your leg training then. What you know, if you're doing, you said at most 3 exercises on chest. Is that the same then for legs as well? How's that
work? Legs is a hard one because even Jordan says like my leg workouts aren't very nice. I think when he prescribed them to me, he was maybe a drunk or something. yeah, because even he says sod that. Because it's like, I'll give you an example of the leg workout from 2 days. Yes, 2 days ago.
Awesome.
Volume obviously isn't super high, but I've got it on my Instagram, so I'm going to read it off of there just so you got an understanding of kind of the setup.
Perfect.
If that makes sense to anyone that's listening. So literally. So I start on lying hamstring curls. We tend to put hamstrings first.
Okay.
Which is a good idea for most people that feel that they need to bring them up because a lot of people kind of stick them at the tail end when they're already fatigued. You know how it is.
Oh, yeah.
And then they don't give them really all they got and they're not fresh and the strength isn't there. So you might as well attack them while you're strong. Plus, when you engorge the hamstrings with a lot of blood, it makes pressing movements feel really good.
Yeah, yeah.
So if I can advise anyone on doing hamstrings first for any reason, it would be that. So we start with like rest pause lying curls, and it's literally just one all out set of rest pause, but with two pauses like the DC style. So you'll attack it twice basically. So it's kind of like a drop set without doing drops.
Sure, sure. No, just for everybody out there so they can kind of get an understanding of this. You know, if you had told me this, you know, maybe 7 years back or so, and you said you were only doing 1 or 2 sets on an exercise, I'm thinking to myself, like, hey, I'm not even warmed up then. But you're doing a lot leading up to this, right?
Yeah, so the way that, like, we kind of warm up is it's similar to, like, what I would do if I was, say, doing a powerlifting meet. Hmm. So as I'm leading up to my, like, maybe doubles or singles in a lift, I would start the rep ranges obviously higher in the earlier stages. So first set being the lightest of all with the highest amount of reps. But what I would do is then stagger up in weight and then decrease reps. So you might find yourself on the second warm-up set only doing 6. Third warm-up set maybe 4, maybe keep it a 4, and then maybe I'm ready to go. It takes usually about 5 sets in a sense to get ready for the working set.
Okay.
But I like to fill each weight in the it's like the preliminary rounds. It's like leading up to that main event.
Absolutely.
You need to fill those weights so that you can, you know, switch the fibers on, get everything firing, know what you're about to deal with, because if you just jump in there from cold, obviously you're asking for trouble.
Sure.
So even if you move a weight once but with good control, because obviously the thing with progressive training, one of the key benefactors of it, key notes that you have to take into account also is that form needs to be the same throughout. So it's not progressive overload if your form goes out the window because you're not progressing on the same kind of standard. So even in them warm-ups, what we're really crucial with is keeping the form tight. So even when I do that one rep, if the form feels like it's gone off, then that's too heavy. If the form feels good, then I know that I can keep progressing the weight until I get to the weight I want to do. Obviously, Scott, we're logging the weights as well as the weeks go by, so we've kind of got a rough idea where we should be at.
Yeah.
So unless you're feeling absolutely dead, then there should be no reason to be somewhere around where you should be. So we'd probably do about 5 warm-ups.
Okay. Maybe.
So it's not like just straight in, but what I will say is after that first exercise, if the movements aren't that dissimilar, we don't warm up a lot more from that point.
Okay. So you can just jump right into what's the next exercise then? And you're going to just jump right into that, huh?
3 times. So I did 3 sets of like 10 on the hack squats.
Okay.
So Because now that I'm introducing a multi-joint movement, yeah, I probably would still do a warm-up.
Okay.
So we've gone from single joint to multi-joint. But after the hack squats, moving on to do a leg press, then you wouldn't really find myself warming up again. Mm. I'll probably do one set prior to my working set, which would be like maybe 70% of the working weight.
Okay.
And then I would go in, because by then my thighs, my hamstrings, my glutes, everything's pretty much full of blood and ready to rock.
Absolutely.
And the hack squats, you know, they hit everything, so...
I'm going to jump in too and say, I think that for you, this works because you're 28. For me at about 40 now, I still take a little bit of time to warm up in between. And it's just, I know my body, you know.
I would never say to someone, I would never say right. There's only one way to skin a cat.
Sure, and sure.
If things take longer to warm up, it's better to take as long as you need and get that good workout in that day than a half-assed one because you didn't warm up properly.
Oh, yeah. So you're...
Yeah, I don't care if I'm in the gym for 3 hours. Like, I've got an intra-workout shake. It's not like I'm going starving. So if it takes longer to warm up, so be it.
Right on.
Yeah, man.
So you're into, you get through the hacks and...
I get through the hacks. Then we moved on to rest pause on the leg press.
Ah.
So this is where it kind of gets a bit gritty because it's... You know, when it comes to like rest pause movements, pride kicks in. And this is where you're going to see who really wants it and who doesn't.
Hmm.
Because... You know, you want to actually be failing on that leg press. Like, you should have a spotter there and someone that has to literally help you lock it out on the last rep. So we are trying to literally reach proper failure on each of those rest pause. It's not enough to just re-rack it when you're like, I'm done, because you've only got one set, so one opportunity, and it's an opportunity that's wasted if you don't get to that point. If you watch Jordan train, you'll see him fail and something, you know, almost come down and crush him.
Mm.
Because that's where ultimately is going to trigger the anabolic response, is getting to that point.
Yeah. I feel like that, what you're saying too, that took me a little time to understand. You know, I had gone from training 3 or 4 sets for an exercise and progressively getting heavier. And as I started learning more of what Jordan does, you really are going all out. And if you don't hit that weight, if you don't give your all, you missed it. Your opportunity is gone.
That's
it. Right?
Yep. Till next time. Yep. And that's why it has to be looked upon in a manner like an event.
Yeah.
So break down your workout. Don't look at your workout as a whole. Look at each individual exercise as an event. Hmm. Event one's done. Did you do well on event one? Yes. Event two? Yes, I did well on it. You don't want to be getting to event three and messing up your routine. So if you just take a little bit longer, like you said, and don't rush into each exercise, and then do make sure that you absolutely annihilate the attempt, then you can't go wrong. That's why I really do break the routine up, and I look at everything as individual movements rather than the whole workout. Because that way mentally I'm able to give more to each individual movement.
I agree.
If I look at a bit of paper and I see a list of 10 exercises, I'm already a little bit disheartened. Mm. But if I go into it and I dissect the workout and I look at individual and I imagine doing the particular movement, that gets me firing, that gets my heart pumping, my adrenaline rushing.
Yeah.
I won't even look at the next movement yet. I'll wait till that's done. When that's done, then I can move to the next movement. I don't want to see, you know, the end credits while I'm watching the film.
I like that.
I've still got to get through the chapters, and that's one at a time. I don't want to be fast forwarding. So just, I've always found that if you can just look at the present, the now,
yes,
versus what you're about to face, it's a lot better.
I love that, man. I try to do the same thing, and I try to encourage people that I'm training with to do that, because it's the thing I'm really into nowadays, and it's exactly what you're talking about, is mindfulness, you know?
Yes.
Connecting to the moment, connecting to what's happening right now, not being influenced by what's going to happen, not being influenced by what happened last time, you know, but allowing yourself to be completely present, not only in that set, but that rep, you know, being completely honest with that really hard rep and not cheating it up, right?
Let's be honest, like in life, Scott, if you have that approach where you're always concerned about what's about to happen, life falls to shit.
Yeah.
It doesn't stay very orderly, and things happen that are not that good a lot of the time unless you're really lucky. But when you really concentrate on delivering well in the current time and doing whatever's set to be done then, if you do that well, then the consistency of good happenings tend to be much more present. And it's the same with training, it's the same with life. If you're looking too far ahead, how can you expect to get the best out of what you're doing right now when your attention isn't 100% on the moment? Mm-hmm. Because ultimately it all comes down to, like you say, mindfulness and attention.
Yeah.
And attention can be split into tomorrow and now, or then and now. And if 50% of my attention is on what's going to happen then, I'm only giving 50% of my attention to now. So that means there's no way that I'm going to execute the best set possible. Yeah. You really do have to take a moment, breathe, listen to the sounds that are going around you right now. It's like being by the bloody ocean and just listening to the sea, and then saying, right, this is happening right here, right now. Let's go. Nothing else exists in the universe. The universe right now is just this little box that I'm in, and that's it. That's all it can be. That is all it can be. And that's the only way that you're going to get through a workout and come out of there satisfied and think, bloody hell, I actually deserve the results.
I actually was just closing my eyes and imagining that while you were saying it.
It's true. This is the thing. And if you can tap into that, you're gonna see a lot happen. You're gonna see a lot happen. As long as you follow up with good nutrition and good rest. Obviously, if you do that and you don't feed the body, then you're not gonna get anywhere. But
sure,
as a whole, if you can combine all those factors together and be prepared, you're gonna develop.
Speaking of eating, and speaking of mindfulness, I recently heard this. This meditative practice, because mindfulness is something that we try to do it, and it takes time. And if somebody's listening to us and they walk in the gym tomorrow and they start trying to do this, I mean, you may have some success. The more you practice it, the better you get at it. There's exercises you can do to practice mindfulness, and one I just recently heard was mindful eating, where while you're eating, focus on the food that you're eating, focus on the taste of that, focus on where that food came from, focus on just the aspects of this food, how the texture of the food in your mouth, everything like that. And this is a way to just practice being 100% in touch with what you're doing and not being distracted by, a lot of times, man, when I'm eating, I'm just thinking about what I need to do next.
Yeah. And the thing with that, it's like a smaller scale of like, again, talking about life in general.
Yeah.
And if you can home in on that moment, it's going to give more power to the food. It sounds weird, but giving more, the purpose of that food becomes much more powerful because you're giving it more space in your mind to be, you're occupying your mind with more space of the thought of what you're doing right now. And like you say, because it's about mindfulness, whatever's filling that void that's inside your head is ultimately what's going to dictate what happens in that day. And if you can grant power to things that are happening right there and then, they're going to be a lot more beneficial than if they're not even being concentrated upon. So it's all about concentration. Like you say, you're concentrating on the food, you're eating it, your well-being is going to be through the roof because you're appreciative of what you're doing. Yeah. You understand why you're doing it, and you also are in connect with that because it's happening right there and then. It's appreciation as well.
Yeah.
Appreciation as well.
So you get through that leg press, and where are we going after that?
Oh, we go over to the Smith machine and perform a muscle round of hack squats. So like a Dr. Scott, six rounds of 4 reps with a 10-second kind of break.
Yeah.
Ultimately, this part is where you're either gonna heave or you're not. And I've been fortunate that I don't heave much these days, but I have to say, the set I did on a few days back, the Smith machine's a new one in the gym, so I didn't realize it hasn't got a counterweight, so it was actually 20 kilos up on what I use. And by the third round, I was like, bloody hell, I'm feeling that.
Yeah.
And it's only when Dean, who I mentioned earlier, said, this one hasn't got a counterweight on it. That's when I was like, oh, Jesus.
He said that mid-set?
Mid-set. And I was already halfway through, so I'll be damned if I'm stopping. So pride made me continue, and I made it through. But now it means I've got to try and match or beat that, next time.
Jeez.
So it was like it was progression, but for the wrong reasons.
Yeah. So is it your Smith machines? Is this the Smith machine that goes straight up and down, or does it have the angle to it?
This one's got a slight angle. And we were saying with Ron on the show, like, how we don't normally like those ones. But I have to say, the angle on this one is a good angle. They've got it right, especially for squatting, because it allows the hips to sit back.
Okay.
So I don't mind this Smith machine. The only difference with this one is that it unlocks the other way. So when I got through my first round of muscle rounds, I went to lock it, and I was like, why is it not locking? And I actually recorded this set, and I've got this outtake video of me getting stuck in the Smith machine, calling it to help. And I can't rack it because it racks backwards rather than forwards.
Yeah.
And I can't turn my wrist because of the amount of weight on the shoulders. So Yeah, there's a slight angle to it, but I think the angles work well for squatting, but they can be a little bit of an arse ache when it comes to like doing chest or shoulder press.
I agree. Yeah, I agree.
Totally. I like a straight Smith for any like kind of upper body stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I do love a Smith machine if it's got a thin, like a thin bar that's kind of emulates more of a normal Texas bar.
That's what I like too.
Yeah, I'm really not into these thick, like kind of hammer strength Smith machine.
I don't know why they do that. It doesn't make sense to me.
I don't, and it doesn't feel right. It's like trying to hold a Coke can. I don't. Right. I've never got that, and that's why I'm really lucky because the three Smith machines in our gym are all thin.
Yeah.
So they're perfect, and you feel like you've got a real good grip on them. So
nice.
So after that, we follow up with just something Jordan doesn't do that often is actually leg extensions, but he's throwing them in on this kind of setup, and it's just like a triple drop set, so nothing out of the ordinary there.
Hmm.
I suppose just a bit of volume work, just pump a bit of blood in.
Okay.
And then we move over to some Romanian deadlifts, two sets, and then back to lion curls for two sets. So that's kind of my standard workout.
Nice.
It doesn't, like I say, it doesn't sound like a lot of volume, but if you do those first, like let's say, four exercises before you even get to the leg extensions, if you execute them to the intensity that's what is supposed to be done, you're going to come out of there feeling absolutely drained of life source. So so it's really good. It just shows you don't have to do 10 exercises in a workout to feel it.
And if you're training like that, you couldn't, you know, you physically couldn't.
And if you can do more, then something's not right. The intensity isn't it. I've always tried to say that as well. I said, if you find yourself training every day of the week without having problems like appetite suppressing or aching, then you're not taking your body to the place that is required to go in order to progress.
And
I try and make that apparent because I see people even in the gym where I am in there 6 days a week, and I'm explaining you might progress to a certain degree, but think how much more you can progress if you got some rest in and actually had the intensity there.
Sure.
I think every, like, this is the thing, Scott, everything works and you will progress. So I don't think many things are going to make you regress if you're eating.
Yeah.
But it's just that how much do you want to progress? Do you want to spend 10 years only progressing 2%, or do you want to spend 10 years progressing 10%? And that's more where the question lies, is try and find what actually going to make you progress at a higher percentage.
I like that.
Yeah, because I've progressed, but since I was, but I should have gone with Jordan years ago. And I say this, like, and he says this to me, if I went to Jordan like 4 years ago when I could have, because we've been friends for a long time, I'd probably be a lot better. Better late than never.
Right. No kidding, man. I mean, you're still young too. You've got a lot of time ahead of you. You're making awesome progress. Going out there to train with him, what did you learn from that experience? You said a lot of people want to go out there just for that Jordan experience. What did you take from that, getting to see him train and train with him in person, that maybe just didn't translate until you actually had that experience?
Quite simply, it eradicated the sense of loneliness. I feel lonely a lot of the time because of this pursuit. Because you don't know many other people that are close by that have the same love for something so similar to what you do. I know a lot of people love doing things, but we all are so different as people. You know, what one man loves is not the same as another.
Yeah.
And when you find yourself being your own motivation for so long, it can drag you down a little bit. And I've had a couple of years where it was hard to sort of push. And by going to see someone like Jordan and hanging around them,
yeah,
it made me feel like I'm part of something and like I'm not alone. And I have to say a massive thank you to Jordan for that, because he's kind of like taken myself and Sass under his wing and given us an opportunity to be part of something, which is like, you know, the trained by JP kind of family. And I needed that, because I was questioning where I'm going, because I've spent a lot of money and a lot of time and a lot of energy on trying to become something and not really knowing how to get there. So for me, it was, I'm happy to accept my identity because of him.
That's cool, so, man. That's cool.
Yeah. And that's more important than anything, Scott.
Yeah.
Is that I know there's someone out there who goes through the same daily kind of mental struggles. And I'm not saying we have it harder than other people, because we don't. I know a lot of people that do things that are not bodybuilding that struggle and work their asses off. But it's just nice to know that you're not the only one doing what you do.
I love that. You know, and something I've talked about before is I feel like in our current climate in society, I don't know if it's like this over in the UK, but here in the US, I feel like the gyms are becoming so mainstream and they're almost conditioning us not to try as hard as we could, You know, they don't want us to make noise. They don't want us to drop stuff. They don't want us to push so hard that, you know, you might scream in the gym, you know.
Oh, 100%. That's so common now, because ultimately corporate companies are about money.
Yeah.
And they want to lure in the general public, and the general public doesn't want to hear grunting and roaring, because they're not these people we're on about. They're not us. And I'm not trying to segregate people, but they aren't us.
Yeah.
And their goals aren't the same. They're doing it because it's on social media and because it's cool to go to the gym and maybe do a 5K run and a couple of sets of dumbbell chest fly. It's not for an internal reason that mirrors ours. They're not there for self-progression as such. They're more there for the accolade and the kind of appreciation from others and peers.
Yeah.
Whereas we kind of on a solo journey, so we go to the gym to kind of improve ourselves. And that's where the biggest difference is, because the market's so huge now and it's fashionable to train.
Do you find that it's like that in the UK as well?
It is, but that's why, like, opening a gym like King's, we try to prevent saturation of that in our area.
Yeah.
So this is why I appreciate so many gyms that are dotted around. Like, there's another gym, Metroflex, which is another great South London gym. There's Muscle Works, Bethnal Green, which is really known. There's Crayford, and a lot of these gyms are basically standing up for what we are. And it's important that they do that, because there needs to be somewhere for us to go and not to feel like we're doing something wrong, because, like you say, they kind of suppress you and they make you feel like the odd grunt or the odd drop of a weight is the problem.
Yeah.
When really it's not. It's just that that's what the majority is saying now, and we have to just stay strong and not let the majority overwhelm us.
I agree.
But it's the same everywhere, because obviously there's money in it, and if there's money in it, then there's going to be a collision of some sorts. But, you know, there's always going to be us and there's always going to be them, and as long as we do our best in order to continue the bloodline as such, it's going to stay. So
yeah, my thought is too that, you know, eventually the fad is going to fade, and
of course,
you know, it'll be gone, but we will still be here because, you know, we love it.
Yeah, there'll be some other fad soon, you know. Yeah. like everyone had a top knot, tattoos, like certain tattoos in certain places, MMA.
Yeah.
Bodybuilding, physique, you know, it's all, things just go around in circles, and, you know, you just have to endure, and, you know, the storm will pass.
Yeah.
But fair play to anyone that goes to the gym. Like, I'm not, you know,
sure.
I'm really not a negative person. And if you can, you know, dedicate time to keeping your body in a better place than people that don't give a toss about their own bodies, then you're doing something right. It's just unfortunate sometimes it's not for yourself.
Yeah.
It's more for, you know, their recognition.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And I know where you're coming from, man. And I know that I know you're not looking down on anybody else. Everybody's got their own perspectives. and like you said, man, not everybody's into what you're into. And that's fine, that's awesome. You know?
Yeah, definitely.
So listen, what are your goals at this point? What are you working on currently?
So the competition wise, the current goal is we're heading for the Arnold Classic Europe.
Nice.
And
when is that?
That is September, like end of September. So we're like 8.5 weeks out now.
Okay.
So that's coming around quite fast. And we'll see how that goes. Obviously that's a pro qualifying event. Cause let's be real, ultimately I want to get a pro card.
Sure.
I've wanted a pro card since I was junior national champion. You know, I wouldn't have kept going unless I wanted a pro card.
And now you got to compete with Luke. You got to keep up with him.
Yeah, what is the thing? I can't let him be the only pro.
Right.
Just need to get back on stage and beat him again. I don't think I'll ever have the size of him, but if I can just make sure I nail my condition that I've had in the past and maybe bring a few areas up, then at least I can look pretty standing next to him. yeah, so that's the main goal. And like I said this to Ron on the show yesterday. I said I'm treating that like that is the show. There's none of this. Oh, that's a warm up show, because it's not a warm up. No show's a warm up. I'm going to that show to try and win.
Yeah.
And I have to have that belief in myself that I can do damage there if I bring my best. And I think Jordan feels I can do damage. So hopefully we'll bring something good to that, and hopefully change, alter my kind of destiny.
Hell yeah.
And if it doesn't work out, then I will compete and I will compete and I will compete until I get where I want to get, regardless. Even if it, you know, breaks me down a little bit or wears me out, oh well. It's life, and you've got to spend a bit of energy to accumulate some, you know, dreams.
Yeah.
So I'm not fussed.
besides working with Jordan, you know, and I'm sure your training's different now, what else is different about this diet than the approaches you've used in the past?
I think the kind of more consumption of fats, because I never really used to eat a lot of fats myself.
Okay.
A lot of bodybuilders like I kind of used to train with. I used to train with a guy called Steve Avery, who was a really good British bodybuilder, junior Mr. Britain, multiple Mr. titles as well. Mm. Never turned pro. He actually beat Lee Powell, who's a British pro, in 2001, but lost out in the overall to a guy called Gary Lister, who was a freak and is still known today. He's won the universe many a time.
Okay.
He was kind of my original guru, and he was very old school. He was kind of like, if you don't want to be fat, you don't eat fat.
Okay.
And that was the old school approach. So we kind of used to just, obviously, every meal of the day we'd have carbs in, protein, obviously, every meal. And then I would just chip away at the calories slowly and slowly over the weeks and do more cardio. Whereas with Jordan, it's kind of like you might pull a macro down. So you might pull the carbohydrates down in a certain place, but you might actually put the fats up or vice versa. So it's kind of like if you were looking at like a control panel with an equalizer, like with the buttons, and each of those buttons is a macro, they can change. Like you can turn one up, turn one down, depending on how I'm looking. So it's a lot more, it's like, assertive. We're keeping more of an eye on things. So things change on a weekly basis or a daily basis depending on how I look. Calories are probably slightly higher than in the past, obviously, because we're trying to maintain more muscle tissue than I've brought to the stage before. But yeah, other than that, you know, it's food is kind of food, and as long as your protein is of a certain standard and a certain amount,
yeah,
you can kind of play around with the other macros and you shouldn't suffer too much. So obviously you put your carbohydrates where you need the energy and your fats are kind of present in your meals where you're not at the gym. So, or coming to that point in the day where you're going to the gym.
Yeah.
So it's all nutrient timing in kind of Jordan's eyes, which works well as well. And it's nice because you get a variety of food. Obviously some of the fats that you eat are really delicious. Like before beds, everyone loves almond butters and nut butters and whatnot. They're so popular these days. So to have one of them is like having a pudding before bed. So
satisfying too, you know.
Exactly. So it's just a little introduction of things like that have kind of been played on this prep. But again, because it's our first prep, Scott, we kind of are learning, so it could all change.
Are you noticing anything different in your physique by using these fats?
I feel my strength's holding a lot better in this prep.
Because
usually, like, even the minute I know I'm dieting, it kind of drops. I think it's like a mental thing. Like, as soon as I can say to myself, oh, I'm dieting now, like, I get weaker in the gym. But this time around, I'm definitely holding a lot more strength.
Yeah.
So if that's accountable to the fats or the carbs, I'm not too sure. I think it's just calories in total that are just holding my strength better than previous diets. And supplementation, obviously, St. Jordan's really clued up with when it comes to like health supplements. And I think my health around is really good. I had a medical today for health insurance. Yeah. And everything was brilliant. Blood pressure, urine, you know, the whole lot. And you know, bearing in mind, I'm midway through a contest diet, taking supplements, etc., and you know, all my readings are coming out really good. So he's obviously very clued up with that side of things as well.
Nice.
Sounds good.
I was thinking of where to go next. What am I missing here?
What are you missing? I don't know. What do you got? See, this is where the part when we're on the side again, when we start talking about movies and games,
right?
because we've kind of given up on our bodybuilding talk, but there's not too much going on really because of the fact that, you know, you kind of knuckle down for the shows. So, you know, at the minute I'm just concentrating on coaching a few select clients, but not too many.
Oh yeah.
Like I've got a couple of good guys that are like kind of classic physique, really good shapes, lines are beautiful,
nice.
young upcoming bodybuilders. So I kind of work with them in between times when I'm not training, and then you'll probably find me a lot of time playing the bloody PS4 because that's like that is my wind down. You know, I kind of go on there and just play a few games because it's kind of an escape.
I can't do that. I will, if I pick up a video game, I'm just nonstop. So I have to just say no at the beginning or else I'm in trouble.
Oh, you're just not going to get off. I kind of just give myself like a couple of hours a day, maybe like in the evening after I've done everything. And I say to myself, you can either watch a bit of YouTube or you can go and play a game. Or if the missus is obviously awake, then we put a film on. So
yeah,
trying to, it's hard because she works quite long days and by the time she's kind of home, we got to shoot straight to the gym and train because I like to train in the evening.
Okay.
And then by the time we get home, obviously you're buggered from training, so you haven't really spent much time together, really. But she's really understanding. So
tell me more about that. Tell me about finding balance in a relationship when you are doing something that is so demanding.
Yeah. You know what? Because I've had my experience of a few different people, and it's whether I've been in relationships over the years of competing, and whether I've changed because of knowing what damage can be done if you don't show enough kind of attention, or it's just the person's changed. Like I've met the right person. I don't know.
Yeah.
I find that being with an individual that is very self-motivated and kind of carries herself well and cares about her career is a good thing.
Yeah.
Because she's preoccupied.
Yeah.
And the last thing you kind of need is someone that wants your attention all day, every day.
Yeah.
Because ultimately you're not going to be able to give it. And if they can understand that, then that's a good thing. I've had it in the past where I'm guilty of letting people in, which I probably shouldn't have, knowing that once I, knuckle down for a show, I'm not the most giving person in terms of time. Hmm. So if you're single and you're looking for love and you're a bodybuilder, the only advice I would say is just make sure that the person you meet doesn't need you in their life, but they want you in their life.
Man, I feel like that's probably good advice in general, because it's great to feel needed, but I mean, at the end of the day, I don't want to make somebody else complete by having me there. I want them to be a complete person and me be a complete person,
You're an addition to them rather than the part of them. Because if you're part, what happens when you are out? What happens when you break? Like, if you do break up, it's like voids are created and people are hurt. And don't get me wrong, yes, you're going to hurt if you break up with anyone. But if you can pick up and leave where you started, financially, emotionally, mentally, because you were already a complete person, then you're going to do a far better job. And that goes for both of you, the woman, the man. Whether you're the one competing or not, just people in general, if you are able to stay afloat yourself and walk into a relationship, that's a much better position to be in. Guilty in the past of kind of being a bit young-minded and maybe taking too much or not giving enough. So I think the balance is just about being someone that can, you make your own money, you keep yourself afloat, you pay your way with the bills. And it sounds cheesy, but you're just 50-50 with things like that. But at the same time, you are individual, you are your own people, and you come together on the odd occasion, a couple of nights a week to spend some quality time together and just, don't leech off each other, but appreciate each other's time.
Yeah. I think that word you used, balance, is so important because, when we compete, especially, things are going to go out of balance for a while, but we can put it back in later. There's going to be other points in time where you will have a lot more time available,
Precisely. And as long as you can promise that and see that through, once show's out of the way, it's like with Luke and Carly, obviously as soon as their show's out of the way, they go on holiday together. And that's ideal. That's a perfect way to kind of, if there is any wounds, kind of heal any wounds and just take things forward again. Because it's never easy. It's never easy. This whole prep thing. But someone ultimately is going to feel a little bit unloved. So as long as you can show them the love when it really matters, before it's too late, let's be real. If you were doing show after show after show after show for years in a row, then that's just inconsiderate. So it's about being considerate as well.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. So, definitely. We're coming toward the end here. I know we've got a lot of young guys that are listening to the show, people that look up to guys like you, James, and that they, they want to be able to achieve what you are achieving now. If you were to talk to them directly, what kind of advice would you give if you could impart one piece of information to them that would maybe help them achieve their goals a little better?
So that really quite simply, the bodybuilding, as important as it is, if you haven't got yourself financially right, get that sorted first, because I wouldn't want to see anyone dig a massive hole of debt or finance problems because of putting the bodybuilding so high on a pedestal that later in life they look back and go, shit, what have I done? And I don't want that for anyone. So just make sure you're earning enough, whether you're at home or not, as long as you've got enough to pay for your food and your bills, then you can commit to something like this. Because in life, you can't commit to things that aren't accessible in such, because you're going to throw more away than you're going to gain. So just be aware of the costs of bodybuilding is what I would say. And the better you get, the more it costs, because the thing is you have to eat more. The heavier you get. So just have a good kind of little put a plan together in sense of finances, and just make sure that you're okay financially. I just think finance is the most important thing, because I've seen so many people suffer with like depression and stuff because of finances. I think that the number one depression causer I've noticed in people is the worry of money.
I can see that.
Yeah, so just try, if you can avoid that and feel like happy in yourself about how much money's coming into your account at the end of the month, then commit yourself to bodybuilding and enjoy it, and you won't have any problems.
That's so good, man. It's so true too. And you know what? It almost doesn't even, I didn't even expect you to say that. It's a great perspective too. One other thing I really noticed talking to you today is your level of gratitude for everything. How do you keep that?
Because
I feel like, I just wanted to say though, because I feel like, you know, we all go through stuff, you know, we all go through things, and it's easy to feel down. It's easy to not be appreciative.
I think it's perspective, isn't it? It's I maybe do look at the world sometimes through like a kind of a tainted kind of vision, like one that's maybe a little bit fantasy.
Yeah.
But it's the fantasy that keeps me sane and keeps me healthy. So I always try and look to the good. And I think it's important to know that although there is many a bad out there, you do ultimately have a choice of being part of it or not, or avoiding it. It nothing has to magnify or pull you in. And if you can just focus on the good and appreciate the good people and steer yourself towards those who encourage you rather than subtract your energy, then you're going to do okay. So just be around people that you share common ground with, that make you smile and make you like kind of happy. Like this conversation today with yourself, with like-minded people, I have to say, you know, I feel really positive and good just by having this conversation. So that's another event in my life. But if I can repeat things like this, then ultimately, on the grand scale of things, it's been a good life. So just talk to the right people. And with bodybuilding especially, don't shut yourself off from people. Do talk to people. And also, if you question this whole approach sometimes to life, turn to the people that you know's opinion is valid, and just spend a bit of time with them, and you'll always come out feeling better. So yeah, really, I think that's the best thing to say,
man. I love it. I think that's really good, and I really appreciate it, because I feel like it's easy for us to focus on the negative. You know, there's a lot of negative things out there,
and there is.
I know you're not just looking at things, you know, from, you know, you this isn't like a Pollyanna viewpoint that you're using, you know, where you're just looking at this positive. I feel like you have a very realistic viewpoint, and I feel like that's what's giving you, you know, this level of gratitude. And I find that very admirable, man. I feel like it inspires me, to be truthful. I like it.
Oh, I appreciate that. It means a lot to me, because ultimately in life, obviously, you want to have a positive effect on people as well as them having an effect on you. So,
yeah,
you know, if our conversations do that to one another and make people feel a certain way, and you've made ultimately, like, anything should make someone feel something, and if it's positive, then that you can't ask for more.
Yeah,
so yeah, it's brilliant.
So you told me you're in charge of all the social marketing and stuff for the gym. Where can people find all this stuff, and where can they find you?
Yeah, if they want, you know, we're in the land of Instagram these days, aren't we? I think it's the most accessible, easy to use social there is.
I think so. So
obviously, if you want to check the gym out, see a few images of the gym or the products we sell or just the vibes in general, you can look at King's Gym Official on Instagram. Obviously, like I say, I run that. So if you shoot over any DMs or messages, it does get quite busy, but I can always try my best to get back to everyone. If there's any queries. And then obviously I'm on Instagram as well as Hollingshead89. And again, it's just, I only really put up things that are like training, maybe the odd, day out with the missus. So it's not all bodybuilding, but there is a lot of bodybuilding on there.
Yeah.
Also, actually, there's one more thing is obviously Jordan's given me a good opportunity on his site.
Oh, nice.
Where I've got a journal on there for the prep. So if anyone has any questions and whatnot to do with the Arnold prep, you can literally just fire over on the forum on there of James's journal. So, so there's a little platform there as well.
Cool. I'll have to check that out. I'm a member over there at his site, and he's always putting out a lot of really great material. So
yeah, he is. And I'll be back up there soon, so there'll be more videos with Jordan as well.
Oh, sweet, man.
Definitely.
Size Game Podcast. Of course, you guys can listen to that on iTunes, anywhere else they can reach it.
Yeah, and obviously we have an Instagram for the Size Game Podcast as well, which is the Size Game Podcast. And that pretty much has anything on there you want to look for. So we have a couple of funny t-shirts that Bandy's sells or sends out. Sometimes there's giveaways and stuff. So any little updates, basically just go on the Instagram. We are on Facebook as well, the Size Game Podcast. So again, if you DM, it'll go through to Bandy. So if you have any kind of requests or want to know anything, you can always hit him up as well. So you can follow Luke Sando on Instagram or Bandy Demagey or myself.
Awesome. You know, I have a video of Bandy training legs, and when I was working at the other site a year or so ago, I had put that together for that site, and we never used it. I need to dig that back out and put it up on Advices Radio.
I need to see it.
Yeah, I will do
Where
that.
Where is this?
it's on my computer, actually. I forgot all about it. I'm gonna dig that out. I'll put it up, man. You'll have to see it. It's good stuff.
I'll have to see it. I like Bandy. He's a good man.
He's awesome, and so is Luke, and so are you, man. You guys have one of the coolest podcasts out there. So
thanks, my man.
You know, once again, I highly suggest everybody checks it out.
thank you very much. Thank you very much, my man.
Well, guys, for Advices Radio, I'm Scott McNally with James Hollingshead.
Thanks again, Scott.
I wanna see it when you find out what comet stars and moons are all about. Wanna see their faces turn to backs of heads and slowly get smaller. Wanna see it now. Wanna see.
Advices Radio Network.